I've got a couple of readings from the Christmas story. So we're going to do that at the beginning, and then we're going to head inside and listen to God's word together. Hopefully it'll be nice and warm in there in a minute. Okay.
Oh, we get to sing together.
Yes, we get to sing together. Let me start with a little reading from Luke. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. You will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Let's sing together once in Royal David City. To be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for him. Let's sing our next hymn, Child in the Manger, Infant of Mary. shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. For the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Glory to God in the highest heaven, they sang, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Let's sing Angels from the Realms of Glory. Reading Matthew chapter 2 verse 9. They went on their way, the wise men, and they saw the star they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them till it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's sing our last carol outside. Christians awake, salute the happy morn.
Joyful. We're going to head inside
and then we're going to look at God's word together. So we'll just have to dismantle a few bits. So let's pray together and then we'll look at God's word together. Dear Lord God, our Father in heaven, we do thank you and we praise you and we worship you. As we come together this evening, Lord, we thank you that we can meet here in one place. And we thank you that we are even allowed to go outside and sing. And we haven't done that for a long time as a church. So we're very glad to be able to come and worship you. And we ask that you may bless the rest of our meeting as well, Lord, as we come to think about Christmas, Lord, as we come to think about the important things of your word, Lord, we just pray that you would bless each one of us, we are. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunities we've had to go and sing on different roads nearby, even this evening and yesterday and in the last 2 weeks or so. Lord, we thank you for those little carol services we've been able to do and with some little readings from your word and trying to point people to the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gospels that have been given out as well. And Lord, we pray that at this needy time when everything is so difficult, Lord, perhaps with lots of people having their plans all thrown into turmoil in the last day or two, perhaps there might be those who feel a bit empty and a bit lost, and Lord, that they might turn to you, we pray. So Lord, we pray that perhaps through some of these sufferings and struggles that people are going through, that you would draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And use our feeble efforts, we pray. Use them for your glory, we ask. We do pray for your blessing upon the last couple of carols that we're doing as well. Lord, we do thank you for those opportunities, and we do ask for your blessing upon those seeds that have been sown. Lord, we pray that they might grow and bear fruit in your good time, we ask. Lord, we do want to pray for our church. We want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, perhaps especially for those who are suffering and struggling at the moment, perhaps for those who are feeling a bit lonely, at this time of being able to be distant from each other and so on. Lord, we just pray that you would draw near to them and give them your peace, we pray. Lord, bless those who have financial worries and job worries and all sorts. Lord, we do lift them up before you and ask that you may bless each of us, we pray, in these different ways we ask. Lord, we do pray for our government. Lord, again, we're having to make tough decisions and facing some rapidly changing and challenging situations. Lord, we pray that you give them wisdom. Lord, we pray that you might help them to realize when they're at an end of their wisdom too. And Lord, we pray that there might be a turning to you, we ask, and a seeking of wisdom, we pray, at this time. And so, Lord, we just pray that you might be at work amongst us as we consider your word together. Lord, we do pray that you just open up our minds that we might receive from you, we pray. And bless us, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to carry on with the story of the wise men and read the bit we don't normally read. Although we did read it this morning, so there we go. So we're reading it twice today. Matthew chapter 2, we were just read a little bit outside of how the wise men came and worshipped him. And then we'll carry on from verse 13 and read what happens next. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there till I bring word to you. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Then Joseph arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And they stayed there till the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." With verses like those, you'd be a little confused sometimes why we think of Christmas as being a bit of a children's story. Because those last couple of verses are hardly a children's story, are they? The real Christmas story
We were just saying just now how, you know, our trailer and so on just displays the characteristic picture most people expect. But the real one wasn't really like that. And the real story of Christmas here, the real events that happen, those ones we just read of in Matthew 2, are full of lies and deception and ambition and pride and suffering and death. The real Christmas story is a lot more gritty, a lot more realistic, isn't it? Well, we wish each other a Merry Christmas, don't we? That's what we say at this time of year. But what if it's not? What if it's not very merry? What if you're not feeling very merry at this moment? And it's not really very merry after the first Christmas either, is it? After the visit of the wise men, there's no merriness at all, is there? It's heartbreaking, the story of Herod and how he sends his soldiers to Bethlehem and they put to death the baby boys who are under 2 years old. And then there's this prophecy of Jeremiah, a voice herding in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. The Christmas story ends with weeping and no comfort. Rachel refusing to be comforted because there's nothing that works, is there? For a mother who's just had a child murdered. There is no comfort that Rachel or, you know, the people of Bethlehem can find. They are no more. They're dead. What a sad, haunting phrase, isn't it, to come to at the end after the loveliness of the Christmas story. Perhaps some people can understand those verses, though. Perhaps there are those who've been in similar situations this year. Maybe those who've been bereaved this year. And they're rather not looking forward to Christmas because at Christmas comes the reminder that so-and-so is no longer with them. And some people hate Christmas for those reasons. They hate the reminder of it. And those landmarks in the year, maybe somebody hasn't lost somebody this year, but perhaps in these things that happen every year, like Christmas and New Year, it makes us aware of the passing of time. And it doesn't matter how many Christmases have gone past, perhaps there are those who every Christmas still end up grieving quite deeply for those who are no more. And they can't find any comfort. Maybe it's not that situation, maybe it's not that bad, but perhaps there are those who are anxious, who have lost their jobs, who are facing financial trouble. Maybe there are those who people say, oh, we wish you a Merry Christmas, and they just think, oh, I don't think it is. And they shrug and they despair. A lot of the Merry Christmas stuff can be pretty superficial too, can't it? And Merry Christmas often is about lots of merriment, isn't it? And lots of trivial things. And so there's lots of classic Christmas tunes on the radio. And they've been pumping us with them since mid-November, haven't they? To try and inspire some cheerfulness. There'll be the Christmas movies and the like to watch. And sometimes Christmas, we're just pumped full of trivial entertainment to make us feel merry. And then the new year hits and it all wears off pretty quick. Well, if we put those things to one side for a moment, the trivial things that might give us a little bit of happiness or merriment just for a while this Christmas, leave the crackers and the lights and the turkey and the presents and the food and drink. Maybe we can discover in God's word a serious cause for happiness. So whether we've had a difficult year and come to Christmas feeling quite raw and traumatic, or whether everything's all right, really, let's just put those things to one side and see if we can discover in God's word a serious cause for hope this Christmas. Perhaps in the light of all the things that are going on in the news and the like. You see, there's a serious thing going on here. A serious thing that the Christmas story doesn't hide from. And if we're going to make it in a minute to the serious happiness, first of all, we need to deal with a serious problem. And the Christmas story doesn't hide away from the fact of death, does it? Even there, with the baby in the manger, or presumably a little bit older now, when the wise men visit, maybe even 2 years old, well, there's this death that happens in Bethlehem. And the Christmas story doesn't hide away from that, those real things that are happening, that we're reminded of in the Bible. Romans chapter 6 and verse 25, we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death. The Bible's honest with us. And this has been the year when we've been reminded about death all the time. Every day we're having reported how many deaths there are, how many cases there are. The wages of sin is death. We're reminded of death. And perhaps as we come to the end of the year, we're reminded of sin as well. Perhaps, as I say, with the passing of time and as we think of a new year and things, perhaps we look back on this year with regret. Perhaps there was something big that we did wrong and we bitterly regret it. And we wish, oh, if only I could turn back the clock. And if I could only have 2020 again, I'd be more careful about something. Or whether it was a big sin or whether it was lots of little things. Perhaps we come to the end of a year and think, oh, what a mess we've made of things this year. There's the serious problem of death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55, we read this, "O death, where's your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Maybe we felt the sting. Death's sting. How bitter it is, how poisonous is its touch. The law we break. The strength of sin is the law. We keep breaking it, don't we? And this last year of 2020 has been a catalogue of more failures, hasn't it, on our part? Failing to do the right thing. And doing so many things that were the wrong thing. And the like. The law we've broken.